They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. And Brent, you ready to relive some Catholic school trauma?
I can't wait to talk about Sister Act 3, None Like It Hot.
Today we're going to be talking about the 2018 film, The Nun. Real quick, just want to give
movie.
A shout out to...
Don't say film, say movie.
Say movie. The 2018 film, The Nun, part of the Conjuring universe. Before we get started, real quick, just want to give a shout out to a new Patreon subscriber, Mikey3D. Thank you so much for joining that $5 Nut and Run tier. If you want to become a Patreon subscriber, you can do so at patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. That's it. That is my Patreon pitch. That's it. No ads other than that. So
here's mine. just go ahead and block out about 87 minutes. But we don't have them recorded now, but at the time you're hearing this, there's going to be more bonus episodes on Patreon. So they're in the pipeline. They're over there, and we've got more coming on the way on Patreon. But, you know, as Gavin said, thanks for even being over there, and the rest of you can go kick rocks.
Yeah, and I do want to give a shout-out and an apology to one of our Patreon subscribers, Tim, who not only did I insult him last week on the High Tension episode by ruining the French language, but I also like butchered his name. So, and I also just try to be funny on Twitter, or the Patreon was like, we love your French franc money. And he's like, it's a euro. And I was like, perfect. So I'm sure he'll be leaving us.
Euros are delicious with the lamb and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. With a little bit of that yogurt sauce. Love
tzatziki.
Me a good.
Can I also say, this has been bothering me for two episodes. And I said it last week, but if you like Psycho, go watch the rest of the Psycho movies. After we stopped recording, I thought to myself, why didn't I say the Psycho movies? And I had every intention of saying that. We had a patron say, why didn't you say the Psycho movies? If you like The Nun, go watch the Psycho sequels as well. That's one of my...
Now, we are talking about the high art film, The Nun, from 2018, Back in the Habit. No Whoopi Goldberg whatsoever. And, you know, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, I didn't get that joke until very recently. And,
oh, yeah, because they wear habits and whatnot.
Yeah, and habit is also like a thing you can do, so it's a double entendre type situation. Mm-hmm. I get it. I see what they did there. Well done, Whoopi.
Well, as you mentioned, I did 13 years in Catholic school. So I was taught by nuns. None of them wore the full habit when you see like a nun in a movie, they're all wearing the full getup. I didn't have that. I did have, you know, most of them wore a dress or whatever, but I did not have the full religious garb. Mm-hmm. But I will say, The Nun as a character is very scary to me because it's just that painting from
Conjuring 2.
And well, next week this is not a spoiler. We're talking about The Conjuring.
Yeah.
But that the character of the nun itself is scary to me. I will say that.
Yeah. I also went to Catholic school. I only did 6 years of Catholic school. But I've been around Catholicism my entire life. I'm a real old school Catholicism kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But we had one of our nuns who wore like the full habit most of the time. But then also you'd see her because she was like the principal of the school.
Okay.
Where they had her pull double duty, like we need you to do bookkeeping for the Lord, and then also we need you to run a school, which seems like a weird calling.
Yeah, which means we can't pay for two positions. I know you probably had Sister Mary Constance, and everybody else had Sister Kathy Ann, Sister Blankety Blank. You got to have the two names. I will say, as you were speaking, we did have a substitute teacher that would come in. Her name was Sister Edward. Everybody called her Sister Ed behind her back. But she did wear, she wore not like the full nun getup, but she wore like the head thing that you would pin to your hair.
Oh, okay.
And she'd always, you'd be like, Sister Edward, can I go get a drink at the water fountain? And then she would always say some version of, offer it up to the Lord. Offer it up. She would say, you know, I'm thirsty, so to make up for Jesus dying on the cross, don't drink for the next 45 minutes.
Lunch is coming. You'll be able to drink your milk and eat your pizza. Just suck it up.
You know, milk and pizza, that great combo.
Listen, it worked in the movie Home Alone. Okay. We got to finish this milk. It's going to go bad before we leave. And that's why Kevin got left behind.
But you did, you little jerk.
But you said that you called her Sister Ed. Were you calling her a horse from Mr. Ed?
Yeah, she wasn't traditionally attractive.
You can say she's fugly if you want to.
I don't want to be mean. That's not my style, dog.
Listen, what, you got her on Facebook? Let's pull her up. Be like,
yeah, I doubt she's anywhere above 6 feet in the ground.
I just found her. Brent, you're none. Woof.
She woof. She would call people's handwriting chicken scratch. That's that was whenever you knew you had a sub, you get a little happy, and then you find out it was Sister Ed, and you're like, God damn it.
There was one sub we had, and it was not, she was not a nun, but I'll never forget this. Her name was Miss Harshbarger.
Harshbarger.
So every time she'd teach, and she'd teach our class like a bunch, she'd be like, it's Mrs. Harshbarger, not Mrs. Cheeseburger, not Mrs. Hamburger. And we're like,
Hamburger.
It's like, well, I wasn't going to call you that, but now Mrs. Hamburger.
Yeah. Which that's not even like it's just a half a play on words. It's not even like that offensive. It's exactly what a child would say.
I know. It's not like Mrs. Slutface. Like, holy shit. Like, what?
Yeah.
Mrs. Slutburger.
Mrs. Slutburger. Yeah. She got bullied in school, and she is now an adult and is worried about being bullied by children.
I know. And you've done substitute teaching, haven't you?
Yes.
And I know you talk about it on one of your albums, but have you ever been bullied by children as a sub?
Not necessarily bullied, but the bit that you're talking about is called Mr. Turkey. It's available on my album, Mr. Turkey. Because the kids would, Mr. Terhune, they wouldn't know how to say that, so they'd call me Mr. Turkey. But I would teach, you know, from little kids to high school kids, and it was mostly the high school kids, but I guess they wouldn't, like, roast you, but they weren't kind either. Mm. But then I was in, like, comedian mode, which that's not good for children, is they would say stuff, and then I would just be equally as smart back, like a smart ass, like I was putting down a heckler. And, you know, in hindsight, they're children. So I didn't say anything like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. But I was also, like, busting balls back. I wasn't going to take any shit, you know. And then it makes you sad when you do public school type stuff and you're like, I got to help this junior read. like I was like, oh, no, this is what public school, because I was thankfully went to Catholic school. And yeah, so it was a little disheartening.
Oh, man, it started out really funny and then ended with a really bleak look on the public education system. Yeah.
I said, how do I reach these kids? Yeah. And then they were like, we need you in Saugatuck, Michigan for $150, no hotel. And I said, I'm there, baby. I'm out of here.
I just really imagined that you did the white savior thing where you're like, mm-hmm. I've got some inner city youth. I've got to teach them how to read so they can go to state for reading.
And then they could teach me how to dance, play basketball or some shit like that.
That's how you learn to rap, actually. You're like, I'll teach you to read, R. Kelly, if you teach me how to remix to Ignition.
We got to win the talent show. Otherwise, the comptroller's going to shut down the equestrian
bridge.
Club.
They're going to take away the bridge.
That's what kind of school I went to, is they had an equestrian club.
Did they really?
Yeah, horse riding. And I don't even know if anybody had horses, but I think they went to a stable to ride. But then you realize in hindsight, you're like, oh, people owned horses. That's not like, let me feed the cat. Let me spend $30 a month feeding this cat. It's you're like, oh, this is rich people. And I was the poor end of not rich.
There's nothing better than being like the poor kid at the rich function. It makes you feel really good. You're like, I think I'd rather just be with the rest of the poors where I have a chance to fit in.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and bust this table. Is everybody done with their filet mignon? And I'm going to eat what you didn't eat over here. So,
getting back to the, now that we've opened up a lot of trauma about public schools.
Hey, this is better than what we're about to talk about.
You are not wrong. We're talking about The Nun, which is a spinoff of The Conjuring 2 and The Conjuring universe. It's a whole universe, much like the Terhuniverse. There are parts of it that are much better than others. Cafeteria, not a fan of, but I digress. This is probably, for me, one of the worst things of the entire Conjuring universe. Granted, I have never seen the La Llorona movie, which I hear is also not good. But The Nun, when people rank the Conjuring universe movies, The Nun is always towards the bottom.
My Llorona. I would say I've seen La Llorona one time, and I think halfway through, I kind of zoned out. I stepped out of my own mind and was elsewhere.
Into the further.
And I would say I forgot about the Annabelle movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the Conjuring universe as well. We've got three Conjuring movies. We've got three Annabelle movies. We're about to have two Nuns at the time of this recording. I would say when we saw this in the theater, producer wife and I, we both were like, I don't think this is a rewatch. And then now I own it on Blu-ray because it was probably $8. And I was like, well, it's $8, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not the best. And I would say the other, like the first Annabelle movie would be slightly better than this, I think.
Yeah, the first Annabelle movie kind of sucks. The Annabelle creation is amazing.
Pretty
Annabelle
good, yeah.
Annabelle creation. And Annabelle Comes Home, really fun. Enjoyed that one as well.
Night at the Spooky Museum.
Yeah. That's one thing that I think that's what is kind of missing from The Nun, is any kind of ties to the other Conjuring universe until like the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I watched The Nun. I went through a couple years ago and I just watched like all the Conjuring movies, like all of them, all the spinoffs except for La Llorona. And for the most part, they're good. They're spooky. They're a really good time. Probably one of the best like horror universes that they've built. And The Nun is a really cool character. I got to meet Bonnie Ahrens at a Horror Hound. She was super nice. She plays the nun. She signed my Funko Pop, glad, happy to scare the shit out of you, and then like put an upside down cross on it. So she was super nice, super fun. And then I think she's in a lawsuit right now with Warner Brothers for like not giving her enough money for like licensing her or something. So that's
hopefully she gets her money.
I hope so too. Get paid. Get that. And if they don't, you say it's none your business how much I'm making. Business.
Fuck Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
No, I like Bugs. What? That's Scooby-Doo.
He just unsubscribed on Patreon. Bugs Bunny is like, that rascally rat. Well, that's Daffy Duck. I don't even know.
I made a wrong turn on Patreon.
This isn't Albuquerque. But I do like the character of The Nun. This movie, though, is pretty fucking bad. It is not good. And it's like the first movie in the series of the Conjuring universe. It's like, it's a prequel to everything. Cause it takes place in like the 1950s in an abbey in like Romania. And it's just, I thought it was really kind of boring. It's a movie that you put on the background and then you're just on your phone the entire time.
Well, you know, last week you were watching, or no, during Psycho, you were on TikTok. So I don't. Yeah, are we comparing the Nun to Psycho now?
Listen, I was on Alfred Hitchcock, okay? That's what I was on.
Good evening. The budget was $22 million, and not surprisingly, they're having a sequel because it made $365 million. So I think this is the most successful of the Conjuring movies, money-wise.
Yeah. What for you doesn't work for this movie? Because you and I both are talking a little bit, we're like, what for you is like the biggest flaw of The Nun?
I was thinking like rewatching this, and I don't know what just doesn't hit about this movie. I like the character of the nun. I do like the setting of it being in an abbey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate the characters. I really like the dead ringer bell scene in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Buried alive. That's not necessarily a fear of mine. Yes, I would be scared, but that's not like an active... I'm not worrying about being buried alive often, you know, like...
Yet. Until yes. I start. And so I take you to a cemetery and like push you in holes and be like, just joshing with you, bruh.
If I find myself in a cemetery with the Undertaker and or Mankind, then I'll get worried about being buried alive. I don't know what about this movie just doesn't like... I don't know, maybe part of it was like the best scare was in the trailer for the movie. Like the one where she's walking down the hallway and then the nun is behind her, but then one comes out from the side.
Yeah.
That was like a good scare. That's a legitimately mm-hmm. good scare, which was like banned from YouTube. That trailer was on YouTube as like advertised, and they banned it from YouTube, and you know something about being banned from YouTube at Gavin Loves Horror.
I do. I've never been banned from YouTube, but yeah.
Copyright strikes, yeah.
Yeah, you can get copyright claims, whatever, but yeah. So sometimes things get age-restricted because they're, like, so terrifying or scary or whatever, and a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of like video game content creators now are like, well, I can't show any gameplay because these games are too violent and everything gets flagged now.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently, because people didn't know what it was, they're mm-hmm. like, well, what's this trailer for? And I guess people were getting so scared because it's one of those, like, jump scare movies. It's like a jump scare video from, like, the late 2000s where... you had like the car driving on the side of the road, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, what's this about? Ah,
yeah, it's that thing where it's like your friend hands you the phone and is like, look really close at that part right there, and then it's the girl Reagan from The Exorcist,
yeah,
with a really loud scream. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because like part of the movie is like there are other nuns in the movie, and then you find out that was not real,
yeah,
or whatever, like. Part of the thing that was built up that there are other nuns in the abbey, and you find out that's not real. I don't know what about this movie did you not like?
I think it's a little complicated, a little convoluted. I think it's very slow. I think it's just too damn dark. I think just visually it's very dark, and you're like, I can't see any. It's like every. Unless they're like outside in like the courtyard, every other scene is like in a catacombs.
It's yeah.
Like, and then if they're outside, like, let's go to the catacombs and be real dark and spooky.
Yeah. And we do like to go see movies at the drive-in, and that's been a big complaint with a lot of horror movies is mostly what we see at the drive-in. But everything is so dark, especially on a drive-in screen. Now, if you see it at home or in the movie theater, that's a different story, but we watched it at home and it was still pretty dark.
Yeah. I just didn't feel like connected to any of the characters. I think that the main star of Tessa Farmiga,
which is the sister of Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, who plays Lorraine Warren. So it's mm-hmm. like Hollywood nepotism, am I right? Just
I could have been me. If they didn't choose somebody from her family, it could have been me.
It could have been you. I could see you in the little habit, in like the casual nun.
Yeah. 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 I'm the nun that like sits backwards in the chair and is kind of cool and swears a little bit. Just tells you how it is.
Listen, sister was my mother superior. You can call me Chad.
Well, we got the very suave Father Burke, mm-hmm. who was it Damien Bichir? I don't know how to say his name. Sorry.
No, you're good. It is Damien Bichir.
Yeah, and then we have Frenchie, who has Franks. He spends francs, not euros.
This is the 1950s. We're accurate. And you've got Sister Irene, who is Tessa Farmiga, who's just, she hasn't taken her vows yet, so she's like on the edge of becoming like a nun, but she's not mm-hmm. quite there yet, so she's kind of like a renegade nun. She's talking to the kids about science and God, and that's just ruffling some feathers in that classroom.
Yeah, for... It's with faith in general. It's like we don't talk about that. We don't talk about certain things, even though that kind of plays into the faith aspect of science and faith can go together, believe it or not.
Yeah, they absolutely can. And there's a lot of people who believe in that, but then there's other people who are just like, hold on, like, no. I know you've got your fancy smancy science and your evidence, mm-hmm. but have you read this old book?
Yeah. Now let me take my medicine. It's derived from science. So what did you think about the opening scene as a nun hangs herself, right?
Yeah, pretty metal. pretty dope whenever you have a nun hanging herself to open your movie. That's a hot start. And then her body is discovered by Frenchie, who is like this guy who just, on the Wikipedia plot, her body is discovered by Frenchie, a villager who transports supplies to the nuns. Like, that's his only job is like, I'm a nun runner. That's all I do. I strictly run stuff to the nuns. That's it. Don't ask questions. If you put a package in my cart, if it's a nun, I will run it.
He should have been Jason Statham, the transporter.
That would be so out of place, but I would love it if Jason Statham is just showed up in a Conjuring movie. Because yeah. Part of the appeal of these are that they aren't super well-known actors. Like, they are, but they aren't. But yeah. If you put, like, a Jason Statham or The Rock in one of these, you're mm-hmm. like, I'm completely, I am no longer immersed in any of this.
They should have made Jason Statham Mother Superior, where you can't see his face, but you're like, is that Jason Statham? Hello, Mom.
Hello. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. I got to finish it. it's like, once you start, you got to finish. I think there was one of the Expendables movies, I think it's Expendables 2, where Jason Statham does dress as a nun at one point and says, I now pronounce you man and knife, and it's amazing.
I've seen those movies, but I don't remember. And those are the exact movies where you can be on your phone.
Yeah. Like, you're like, is Jason Statham knifing somebody right now? Perfect.
All right, I'll put the phone down and watch the action scene. I don't know. He discovers the nun and the blood is still there on the steps.
Yeah, and she's also like eaten by crows because those crows got to eating real fast.
Mm-hmm. And anytime there's a scene, I wrote it in my notes, and we'll talk about it next week in The Conjuring. Anytime there is a scene with somebody hanging that's been hanged, it's always powerful to me because there's no, like, just see a body hanging by the neck. Here in the United States, that it doesn't mean something different, but it means something, it's very ominous of lynchings.
Mm-hmm.
In the South and with racial things, but just in general, see a dead body hanging is always a striking image.
Yeah, and I think so, and it always makes me very uncomfortable because you do have it in The Conjuring, which we'll talk about next week. You have it here. The hanging I always think about is from The Omen. It's all for you, Damien.
Yeah.
And then you do a swan dive, you do a swanton bomb off the top of a roof. And
you do Jeff Hardy off the top.
You Jeff Hardy. Turner, turner, turner.
Yeah, which we need to watch The Omen sometime, by the way. But yeah. But yeah, anytime, I think it's always effective in a movie. Or you get the scenes of, you get somebody's feet on a bucket or a box and then they kick it away and then either you just show the feet kicking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think hanging as a movie trope or anything is still effective whenever you see it.
Yeah, and that's why, and we'll probably talk about Sinister during Halloween season this year because that's a super scary movie. But that movie opens with a hanging, a long, prolonged hanging. And you're like
not just one, but a bunch of people,
it's
right?
It's like a family. It's like a family. Yeah. It's a whole troop of them getting hung up there. So, yeah, I would agree. It's very striking to see, like, hanging because you don't die right away, and it can be very prolonged and very hard to watch.
And then also, if they want to be accurate, they piss themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know if even that's accurate, but that's what I've always heard, is you void your bowels.
Yes.
You know, I don't even have to be hanged to do that, if I'm being honest.
I just love the term void your bowels.
Yeah.
Like you wrote a bad check for your bowels to the bank.
Void.
Void. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just shit here right here in the... I'm not getting alone today, I guess. Sucks for me.
Yeah, the blood is fresh on the steps, and then what happened? It's been a few days, I'll be honest, since I've seen this movie.
I watched it last night, and still, I can't... That's what's so hard. I can't tell you what this movie's about. It's so kind of all over the place, and it's just... It's hard to talk about, and I'm the one who said, like, let's watch The Nun to get that... Yeah. That piggybacking off the new movie, which I've heard the new movie is much better.
The Nun 2. And I guess we should also talk about the marketing for The Nun 2, because we were both at Horror Hound, the Horror Con in Indianapolis, and they had not even a booth. It was just like it was a booth, but it was like free. It was a bunch of probably, what'd you say, 12 to 15 people dressed as nuns. And they had the blackout mask on.
Yeah, so they did something similar for the promotion of The Nun back in 2018, where they had like a face in hole type deal at like different horror conventions. At this year's Horror Hound, to promote The Nun 2, they actually had like a corner booth with like an altar to like kneel and pray in front of. And they had like people dressed as nuns to like come up and look at you and like be
get
scary.
Get your picture taken.
Yeah. You know. It was like a whole elaborate thing. On my YouTube channel, Gavin Loves Horror, if you check out my Horror Hound video, you can see what they had. But it was like an all-out promotion for this. Giving out posters, like nun, like popsicle masks, things like that. So it was
good marketing. I would say that's a good, you know, anytime you're getting somebody to take a picture with your thing, that's why you see the big standees at the movies. And with Barbie... They had the box. You stand in the box, and then, whoa, it's free advertising for Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I think it's good, you know, and it's a great photo op. I didn't get it, but who wouldn't want to be surrounded by a bunch of scary nuns, you know?
Yeah, and I think this movie's biggest fault is that the nun is so cool. The Nun is such a cool, visually striking horror, I'd say icon. I think there's a lot of things from the Conjuring franchise that could be considered icon status. Like, people, if you show people The Nun, they'll know, be like, oh, that's The Nun. Even if you've never seen the Conjuring franchise. But the Nun is a cool character, but she's not really a slasher. She's the demon Valak, so she's, like, possessing people and doing all this shadow stuff. But when you have a character like that, or an Annabelle, it becomes hard to... really make them the star of this movie that they are when you have to put them in the shadow so long. And so much of The Nun just relies so much on these jump scares and the darkness that you really never feel like the Nun feels kind of like an afterthought for me, because there's so much time between nun scenes where I'm like, well, is The Nun even in this anymore? Like, where is The Nun?
Conversely, producer wife said they show The Nun too much.
Okay, well, whose side are you on?
Well, one bangs me and the other's my wife.
Oh!
Look out. But we've already seen The Nun as a character in The Conjuring 2, so we're doing it out of order.
Yes.
But in Conjuring 2, she's featured heavily. So it's one of those where, do you show it, do you not show it? But it's like, we've already seen it, so you might as well show it, you know?
Yeah.
But there's so much in the dark. But, like, I will say the nun, the character, and the nun, the presence, is so much more in the movie as far as being the other nuns in the abbey, being the Mother Superior, who are the abbess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as evil as an entity. And you'll see the nun or other ghost or whoever, like the little kid running through the sheets or whatever it was. Like, you only see little bits and pieces of that, you know? I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but I just talking about seeing the nun in general in the movie.
Yeah. I think for me, what was very confusing is you've got the whole, you got Father Burt kind of being like, I exercised a boy in the past. He died. So he has that kind of burden on him.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've seen a lot of that lately where I love that every Exorcist movie at some point has like, my last day on the job. I was 2 weeks from retirement. Yeah. And then an exorcist turns sideways.
And then my mother died, and now she's in hell, sucking dicks in hell.
but can you smell?
I can, yeah, in hell, definitely. Yeah. That's what hell smells like. Mm. let's talk about Valak. Valak takes the form of a nun in the movie, appears in various books and magic that in part describe how to conjure demons. In those works, Valak never appears as a nun. Rather, Gavin, a trait that's created by the filmmakers. You got to have, you know, the nun, spooky, you know, that's an imagery in religion. And you could walk down the street and pass a nun. That's realistic. Yeah. You know? So that image of the nun was created for the movie. Instead, the demon is described as a child with angel wings that rides on a two-headed dragon. And I did look up that picture. Looks pretty badass.
I'm going to add that to my D&D campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the nun's a cool character design. Little boy with angel wings on a two-headed dragon, though, I think that'd be pretty cool, too.
That's my next tattoo, I think I gotta say.
a back piece?
My first one. Yes, a back piece. I gotta get my Sons of Anarchy one covered up because I left the club.
You gotta get it blacked out.
One of the most notable mentions of Valak is in the mid-17th century poetic book, The Lesser Key of Solomon, which draws on materials from a couple centuries prior. The book's name comes from the fact that the demons focused on are ones that, according to legend, were summoned by the biblical figure King Solomon. Describes the demons of a grand president of hell who commands legions of demonic minions. So that Valak is the president of hell.
No, so I mean,
we
could
have
be the
best demons.
We got the best demons. Didn't King Solomon? I'm just looking up here. This is now just a Bible study because we didn't like the nun.
Let's bow our heads.
Let us pray. King Solomon was the guy who did the baby thing.
Was it that somebody brought him a baby and he said, "I want to cut it in half"?
Yeah. Which
you want 6 inch or 12? What kind of bread?
A 6 inch on Italian herbs and cheese with
baby?
American cheese.
Roasted baby. Can I get that toasted, please?
Light mayo. Light mayo, please. But yes, Solomon was the king who worked at the subway and offered to cut the baby in half. Which my thing is, and this is completely off topic and a tangent, but what was his end game? Like, I know that he says, like, I knew that the real mother would be like, please take it. But what if they're like, all right, awesome, what half you want? Like,
yeah, cool. Let me get the back end.
He's like, it seems you have called my bluff. Looks like it's time to cut this baby in half.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't expect this.
And fill it with some sweet onion chicken teriyaki.
Do you want a cookie of chips? So during The Conjuring 2, James Wan explained that the nun character in the movie was actually inspired by the entity Lorraine Warren, a famed demonologist claimed had haunted her in her home. She described the entity as a, quote, swirling tornado vortex with this hooded figure in there. So, of course, I went on to say that pretty hard to just do that. So he said, let's make it look like a nun that we all kind of know.
I want it to look like the Tasmanian devil just in tornado mode going through the Conjuring.
And then you see him on some mud flaps.
Now, that's Yosemite Sam. I know Taz is on those mud flaps, but Yosemite Sam owns the mud flap market.
Back off, varmint.
These colors don't run.
This movie was actually inspired by, The Nun was inspired by this movie called The Name of the Rose from 1986, starring Sean Connery.
Ooh.
Based on another thing called by a book by Umberto Eco, I think I'm saying that right. The book of the same name. In that movie, a fictional friar, William Baskerville, he probably has some hounds, but his apprentice portrayed by Christian Slater. Ooh, I'm getting hot and steamy. They travel to
Is it 1984? Is this Heathers?
Woo! Travel to a Benedictine abbey in northern Italy to investigate the mysterious death of a famous monk. The last person who talked to the monk is found dead in a vat of pig blood.
Whoa.
Inhabitants of the monastery fear that the devil is behind the murders, and that's pretty much where the comparisons end. But so this was also inspired by a couple different things.
Yeah. So what gets me is this movie also feels like it tries to do too much, mm-hmm. where you've got the main thing of the nun dying at the beginning, investigating that. You've got Valak the Nun. Then you also have actually, the abbey was built during the Dark Ages, and mm-hmm. There was a guy obsessed with the occult, and then we had to use the actual blood of Christ to seal it down. And then you have, World War II bombings that also, unleash the nun again. And it just, it's so much going on. It's like, why can't the nun just be a nun that is spooky and scary?
Because it's got to be a demon that takes the form of a nun, I guess. I really wish that when they started dropping bombs on the abbey, that the nun came out and they would have hit the gorilla song, "Finally, someone let me out of my cage."
Burr, burr, burr. What a good musical cue that would have been. At that point, you got to lean into it. I know you have this orchestral score that's pretty good. Like the music in this is actually very good. Throughout the entire Conjuring series, the music is always very good. Mm-hmm. But just to have the nun come out of this hole to gorillas and then do after 10,000 years, I'm free!
Yeah, the Rita Repulsa.
Yeah, from Power Rangers.
If we could get a mashup of that. They've also got... Go ahead.
No, you're good.
The phenomenon in the movie of the perpetual adoration. There's always one nun praying in the chapel or whatever. I just think, you said you went to Catholic school too. I think growing up in the church, in a church setting, it's always a little creepy to me. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like because you were raised, or you're not raised Catholic, but went to Catholic school and... around Christianity, do you think it was that, or do you think churches inherently are just a little creepy anyway?
I think churches are a little bit inherently creepy, because I remember last summer I got together with some friends and to play Magic the Gathering, which is the devil's game. I don't know that. It's a doorway to witchcraft. So we were playing Magic the Gathering, and nobody had a big enough house to play at. So, one of my friends, they had a key to a church that their parents cleaned or something. So we would play in the church basement playing Magic the Gathering, which all our cards caught fire for some reason.
It burns.
But just so we'd be in the basement playing Magic the Gathering, but if you wanted to use a bathroom, you had to go upstairs. And just going upstairs to a church, and there's people downstairs having fun, laughing, eating pizza, and so forth. But just going to the bathroom and peeking in the chapel, a dark chapel is the scariest place in the entire world.
It is, and I don't know, because it's it should be the sanctuary of good and love, but then in your head you're like, what if the devil's up here? Is that what you feel?
Yeah. What if there's a, cause funerals happen. Is there a body in the room right now? Are we playing? Am I tapping my green mana while there's a body actively upstairs?
I just think, that's one thing that this movie has going for it is the setting. It's huge. It's creepy. There are the shadows, I think, add to the scariness of this movie in general,
Yeah, for you, because when at my Catholic school, we had a church attached to the building, and you could kind of see sometimes if you went to the library, you could see a door that went to the nuns' quarters. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is a universal thing. Did you always feel when you got a glimpse of church not being church, was there always a blue hue to it? It always kind of came across as blue. At least for me, it did.
No, I didn't have that, but it could have been just the church you went to.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if that was they're all blue, dabba-dee, dabba-do. Yeah.
And it could be that, the music in a Catholic church doesn't have, it's very chanty.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, back in the day, the churches were so big almost to inspire awe in people of, if you went into a little shack, would you feel that God was present? in the same place that you live, or if you went and the ceilings are painted and the ceilings are 50 feet tall, wouldn't you feel like, oh my God, God must live here?
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, absolutely. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
The Abbey was built on a portal to hell.
The hell mouth, if you will.
And the blood of Christ was used to seal the portal. Here's a... Correct me if I'm wrong. You just watched it last night.
Yes.
So they just had the blood of Christ laying around in this abbey, right?
Yeah.
Not kept at the Vatican.
Nope.
Where the Pope lives and they keep... I'm thinking everything that wouldn't... Out of all the things... In Christianity, wouldn't you keep the literal blood of Christ at the Vatican?
Well, I think that was their travel size. I think that was when they...
It was
so
like
they...
the one you could get through TSA with just a little little blood of Christ.
Be like, is that more than 3 ounces of the blood of Christ? We're going to need you to dump some of that out right here.
I'm just going to chug it and then dump it in the trash can.
But yeah, and it's... They have the actual blood of Christ with them. I assume there's more, but there's also, like, how much do you have? Like, he's not alive. He's not here anymore. You can't just be like, hey, Jesus, can I get some more of that bee?
Well, apparently, if you bless the wine, it's the same thing, but...
You're right. You're be like, is this... This week, Jesus is like a nice Perrier.
Oh, this pairs well with the cheese.
It pairs so well with this flavorless wafer I'm about to down.
Hey, that's disrespectful. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You took communion. Did you ever have them put it directly on your tongue?
No, I didn't. That was my mom. That was a thing that they would do, I think, where it's directly on the tongue. That seems... I have a... Well, like, did you... When you went to communion, Gavin... Do they all have, like, about 3 or 4 cups of wine, and the whole church drank from that wine, right?
Yes.
And they would wipe it off and turn the cup.
Yeah. And that I don't know how COVID ever started. I don't know how COVID ever could have spread. When you have, it was always cool, because I still go to, like, midnight mass occasionally, just because I like midnight mass. It feels
it's kind of a ritual comforting thing, right?
Yeah,
Even though I don't really believe in that stuff anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hurting anybody. It's just nice. I like the music. I like that the priest busts out his smoky jar for the event.
Mm-hmm,
I like that.
Swinging it around.
Yeah, he usually does like a 20-25 minute set for the homily. Because they're
finally, someone let me out of my cage.
But, you know, I love that during the homily, during, like, Christmas or Easter, I imagine, like, the headliner, which in this case is God, would just be like, you know what? Do as much time as you want. Just go out there and have fun.
Just have fun, man. Just be loose. You know?
Where you from? What do you do for a living?
Just, you know, don't do anything to my merch pitch. Just, pass it around, put a dollar in, and...
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. But I just, I still go to mass sometimes. It's a good time.
It's just the ritual thing, and I think that's really... it's so much of ritual is a little scary, I think, especially in a setting of a church.
Yeah.
And with prayers and... I think Catholicism in general is a little scary, at least for somebody that was raised in the church. If somebody, you weren't raised in that at all, I don't think it means anything to producer wife. The nun is not as scary as it is to me, you know?
And they make a huge deal from, like, a very young age about, like, these rituals. So even though, like, The Nun is a horror movie, it's very kind of silly, and you've got, like, the blood of Christ in a glass grenade, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They make a huge deal. Like, I remember being, like, in second or third grade, and it was my class's turn to, like, do mass and have, like, assignments for mass. And, like, if you were assigned to, like, carry up, like, the communion or, like, the water or wine, like, you made a big deal. They're like, don't trip. You got to look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, if I trip, am I going to hell? And they're like, probably yes. Yes, you will.
You know, we could prevent a lot of things, but if you trip over your size 9 Velcros, there's nothing we could do.
Size 9? Goddamn.
Yeah, I know. I had some huge feet back in the day, and I still do because they've not changed. Size 9s, baby.
Yeah.
What are some positives to this movie? Can we? I think the graveyard scene where all the bells start ringing.
Yeah.
where he's trapped in the grave. Would you say that's a good scene? The highlight of the movie, probably.
I think it's definitely the highlight of the movie. Do you want to explain why they have the bells on the graveyard?
Well, as far as I know, it's the concept of the dead ringer. You would put a bell on top of the grave with the little thing down in the thing to let people know
in
you're
the coffin.
A town crier. if somehow you got buried alive, you're ringing the bell. That guy's alive, you know.
Yeah, and you
got
to
right?
dig
That's
him up.
Where that comes from, right?
Yeah, yeah. For me, I was like, I imagine I'm buried as like a newspaper salesman. I'd be like, no, I'm alive. Bring, bring extracts. Read all about it. Hey. I'm down here.
And they always put those at Arby's. You know, they say ring the bell if we did well.
If you're buried alive at an Arby's, you're like, the roast beef fell on me. I'm trapped under beef and cheddar. Britt, you worked there for a while. Like, you cut the meat too thick. You didn't move the body.
You maniacs. You cut it up.
No, I'm going to think about that every time. I think a lot of Arby's remove the bells.
They should have. They're doing a great job over there.
Bring me. I feel like that they removed it because they're like, you're just being sarcastic. You didn't really like the mozzarella sticks.
Who doesn't want to ring a bell? That's just fun. And then an angel gets its wings, and that's what teacher said, and all that, and so on and so forth.
Exactly. Bells, bring them back. But the scene is very good. It's very tense because they're all ringing shit to find out where it is. He almost gets shoveled in the head.
Yeah, and the demon is in the coffin too.
Mm-hmm.
I do think a coffin scene is kind of scary, because you know, being buried alive, that is a scary thought. Can you imagine, like, when they always say, when we dug up the coffin, there were scratches on the lid and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, because buried alive, all I know how to do if I'm ever buried alive is to just take my hand and just punch it straight up. Like in Kill Bill Volume 2. Like, mm-hmm. If that does not work, because assumedly, I would not be buried in a pine box. I'm sure someone would get me, like, a nice, real nice mahogany, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
A mahogany casket.
I just want you to bury with mahogany in the box. That's all I want, is mahogany. That's my biography.
You want your own penis in you? How?
Yeah, I know you people take it when you do the autopsy.
And you sell it. And then that's why Crooked Hillary's emails won't come out, because she's buying the hogs.
My hog of me. I don't care what you bury me in, because I'll be dead, so.
But just in case, should you put it in your will, be like, put me in a pine box just in case I'm not dead so I can punch out Kill Bill style?
I want a styrofoam. I want it to collapse under the weight of the dirt. I want it to go box, essentially.
That's how a magician died one time.
Oh, yeah. I did on the field trip with Brent Terhune. It was magic gone wrong, and I think it was covered in cement, I think.
Yeah, and like it caved and was like, yeah. I don't want to do a PSA or be too preachy. If you're ever thinking about burying yourself alive for a magic trick, just don't do it. You've got nothing to gain. I won't be that impressed. People won't be that impressed.
Go sit in a block of ice like David Blaine.
And let us watch you for days in Times Square, David Blaine.
I call that magician on the rocks.
You're so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
but this movie is as well. Overall though, like,
we haven't really talked a lot about this movie, but I don't know that there's a lot to grasp on.
There's not. And I know a lot of people don't listen for like an in-depth synopsis. There's not a lot to this. It's basically the nun is on the run, and you gotta
nun on the run. Finally, someone let me out of my cage.
The nun is on the run, and you got to find out what's going on and get her back in the box. What's in the box? And it has a pretty good showdown at the end where you find out, like, there's no other nuns here. It's just her the whole time. They're ghost nuns. Spooky.
You're a ghost.
You got something.
But, I mean, that shows how powerful the nun is. It's essentially manufacturing a whole staff of this abbey, you know?
Like, yeah, and they say people don't want to work anymore.
Now this nun's taking all our jobs.
I know. Just like that's why the plant shut down. They hired all the nuns. And then I do think it's pretty cool because you think that Sister Irene is dead. And I think it's cool because as a wrestling fan, I'm so sorry to non-wrestling fans for how many references we make. Mm-hmm. But when she spits the blood of Christ, I was like, it's time to play the game.
Yeah. I thought it was who's the spits the green mist?
Oh, the Great Muda?
The Great Muda. I wrote that in my notes.
Oh, so good. But and then the nun gets put back in. And then it turns out that that Frenchie is actually Maurice. And that's how it ties back into the original Conjuring, because they're showing his exorcism that gets Lorraine possessed. So even though it doesn't make a lot of sense, like, well, why would you? I know some people were like, well, why are you doing the nun before watching the Conjuring? One, because the Nun 2 is coming out. And also, this is the first, like, this is a prequel. Like, it came out first.
Yeah. And chronologically, it does make sense. But, yeah, do we need to say anything else about the nun? They filmed it in the Palace of Parliament building, and it cost $5,000 an hour. I think that's a euro, or I'm going to go with francs to make our one Patreon listener mad. Sorry. But five grand an hour.
That's Taylor Swift money. Like,
no reshoots. Get it one and done.
You gotta get there. While $5,000 an hour is a lot. Like, you got to be really on it. Be like, one take, nothing else, but we're good.
Know your shit when we get there.
While The Conjuring and Conjuring 2 are based on allegedly true events, this film story is entirely made up by the filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really disappointed that nobody ever spit the blood of Christ on an actual ghost nun.
I would have loved that. And Bonnie Ahrens, the nun, she played the bum in Mulholland Drive, which is a movie I've never seen.
I've never seen that
but
either.
But I've seen that scene. And thankfully to like the top 100 scary moments, I've not really seen any David Lynch movies, to be honest. And
to some,
that will be sacrilegious.
What has David Lynch done?
Mulholland Drive. He's done Twin Peaks.
Okay.
A bunch of other ones, too, that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Did he do Dune, I think, maybe?
I don't know. I wish there was a machine that we were both on.
Is it the IMDb? Also, shout out to my friend Brittany, who likes it when I say IMDb, and she caught herself saying it that way the other day. So,
shout out.
What up?
Twin Peaks, Wild at Heart. Oh, he did Eraserhead.
Oh, yeah.
I started that movie, and I learned pretty quickly that that's not a pre-time bed movie.
Isn't it really dark and like weird and upsetting?
It's black and white, and it's weird.
Red all over.
Yeah, and I do know that David Lynch was the bartender on The Cleveland Show.
Was he really?
Yeah. He's got a very distinct voice.
Oh, okay.
And then what was my other notes? Apparently there were ghosts on set. The director, is it Colin Hardy or Corin? The director, said he was visited by ghosts, three spirits the night before that he mistook for members of his own film crew while he was working on a scene in a long, dark corridor. When Hardy turned around after carefully studying some film monitors, the two had vanished as if they were never really there.
Ghost crew.
He speculated that the ghost, quote, ghost, may have been Romanian soldiers who were observing the filmmaking process.
They were just non-union. That's all they were.
Yeah. Hey, move that jib.
Nope, can't do it. Can't do it.
I don't like the cut of that jib. I will say that jump scare is pretty effective jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the movie is scary.
Yeah. And I think it is pretty scary. I think it's got some pretty good jump scares. And just to confirm, it is the highest grossing film in the Conjuring universe, and it is the lowest rated one.
Hey, who needs artistic, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's also the shortest film in the Conjuring universe at 133 minutes long, which, thank God, at least it wasn't good, but it wasn't long.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's the little things. I think that's it for The Nun. I know that this might be a shorter episode, but there's not much to it.
No, I don't think so.
And I think it's fun. I hope you enjoyed this. Now, Brent, what is your oh shit moment?
I guess my oh shit moment probably would be to find out that none of the nuns are actually there. It's all just the nun doing everything. Yeah.
I think my oh shit moment is when she spits the blood of Christ and they say, degenerate into something, fool. We just got tired of doing what you told us to do. That's a break, boy.
And then what's the best kill? Well, there's a nun hanging herself.
Yeah.
What else? Who else got killed in this movie?
I think that nun killing herself is the best kill.
That could be my oh shit moment as well, as the hanging. It's always, you know, like I said, the hanging moment is always powerful to me.
Yeah, I know it is when you hang that brain.
Hanging brain.
Yeah, meat show.
What are we going to do tonight, brain?
We're going to show our meat on stream. if you like the nun, what else would you like?
The rest of the Conjuring series.
Okay.
The Exorcist, The Omen, pretty much anything to do with religious type stuff. Mm-hmm. What's the one, The Exorcism of Emily Rose? That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one. What about you?
I'd say the Conjuring universe, of course. I think all of them tie together. I think Psycho 2, Psycho 3, Psycho...
hell yeah, yeah.
I think all the psychos. I also... The Pope's Exorcist, that's a newer one.
I haven't seen that with Russell Crowe.
With Russell Crowe. Pope's Exorcist, actually a lot better than I thought it would be. It's on Netflix right now.
I heard it's really good, yeah.
Yeah, highly recommend that one. And then, like you said, The Exorcist, The Omen. Anything demon possession is usually a pretty good time.
Religious type vibes to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that this is a party movie?
Not really. And not because it's a dark film, like High Tension or something like that. It's just not, it's just not very good to like have on. I think it's too boring to have on it as background noise.
Yeah. It's not, there's no party vibes to it. There's nothing fun about this movie.
It's very kind of gothic and kind of boring.
We didn't do that question for a lot of movies. Is Halloween a party movie?
Yes.
Is The Exorcist a party movie?
No.
Is Jaws a party movie?
Yes.
Okay. We might do some of these on our recap, because these are kind of fun to figure out what's
you
a party
do 50,
movie.
And now we only got 49 left.
And then I think this movie's scary. Did you think this movie's scary?
Not really. I was more bored than anything. I think it has some good jump scares, but I don't think it's scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with scary.
Okay.
I say scary.
Okay. Scurry. And you're a skirty cat.
As we mentioned earlier in the episode, next week we're watching The Conjuring.
Where it all begins.
That's it, right?
I think that's it. Go ahead. If you want to be a Patreon subscriber, subscribe. Patreon.com/they're coming to get you. $5 tier, $8 tier. Let us know. We do have some fun stuff on the way. I did order some merch. So I should have some more details on that coming very, very soon. So I know a lot of love you've been asking for it. Some merch. I did post on Patreon, like, what merch do you want to see? As much as I would love to have I Smell Your Cunt merchandise, I don't think that's going to happen because we're not the band Cradle of Filth.
We can get panties made.
Oh. All right. Well, maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do it. But we will do our. Somebody else said Brent and Gavin Funko Pops. If I can get a Funko licensing deal, I will absolutely do that. But yeah, some of the ideas were very fun. But we do have a very basic merch thing coming very soon. If you want to support us, or that I'm probably going to give out to Patreon subscribers for being subscribers
for free.
For free with your membership, of course.
Yeah, that's like how Stranger Things is free if you pay your Netflix subscription.
Yes, for sure.
Let's bow our heads and pray, because they're coming to get you,
Barbara.
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.